In the middle of the 15th century, the year 1464, an unusually large block of marble was quarried and hauled to the construction site of the cathedral in Florence, Italy. The stone was 20 feet high, of awkward dimensions, and the grain was flawed. The leading sculptors of Florence could not design a statue from its odd shape. So it sat in the yard behind the cathedral for 26 years. Finally, a promising young artist was granted permission to work on the stone. He chipped away at the marble for 3 years and produced a masterpiece. The young artist was Michelangelo. The statue was David. And I'm sure you've seen it somewhere in your life. Michelangelo's David, just one of the great artists of all time. Here is the rest of the story. The very flaw in the stone gave rise to the statue's magnificence. Michelangelo had to turn the upper body of David to fit the grain and the dimensions of the stone. That very twist gave the statue David a sweeping, majestic pose. In today's second reading, St. Paul talks about his flaw. I was given a thorn in the flesh. Did you ever have a sliver in your finger? Hurts, doesn't it? I begged the Lord that it might leave me. But God said, my grace is sufficient, for power is made perfect in weakness. Power is made perfect in weakness. Whenever you see a movie, the superhero jumps out. He's a big guy, full of muscle. Superman, Batman, any one of those wonderful superheroes that we love, and everybody cheers when they come out for the first time. Solve all the problems. Suppose the guy who comes out is a 98-pound weakling, a real wimpy-looking guy. What would you think? He's the superhero? Not my idea of a wimp. What is the Lord doing here? Superheroes we want. Wimps we don't need. St. Paul concludes the paradox. When I am weak, then I am strong. St. Paul is dealing here with the deepest mystery of God's wisdom and the darkest paradox of Christian faith, human suffering. Why does God allow it? How can it be good for us? The answer is, we don't know. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I don't have the answer in my own life. I don't have the answer for you. If I did, hey, I'd write a book, sell 1 million copies, solve all the problems of the parishes here in Jackson, anywhere. Be nice. Can't do it. We cannot know. But even our ignorance is relevant to our life and our faith. Although St. Paul begged to be relieved of his burden, he conceded that it transformed him. It changes us too. There's much conjecture about what Paul's affliction was. An eye disorder following the blindness when he underwent his conversion program. Maybe his eyesight wasn't quite right. Maybe he was nearsighted or farsighted. They didn't have glasses. They didn't have laser correction surgery in the first century. Epilepsy. Some people think it was that. A possible cause of his fainting. A speech impediment, since he apologized often for his poor speaking ability. If it's a speech impediment, well, yeah, really a big problem for a speaker. My mother had a new priest in her parish in Toledo once, and she was telling me, hey, Rich, this guy mumbled. Why don't you tell him so? I said, Mom, he doesn't mumble for me. I don't hear him. You do. Why don't you go and talk to him? Oh, I could never do that. I could never tell him. Well, Mom, I said, he's going to be here for 12 years. So every sermon this guy preaches is going to be mumbled. She says, oh. I mean, she didn't say exactly that, but it was like that. Whatever his ailment, it was grave enough to be a thorn in the flesh. He begged the Lord 3 times about it, and God didn't cure him immediately. Strange thing for one of the main preachers, one of the main apostles of all time. Apparently he suffered for a long time with this. To err is human. To be human is to be flawed. Anybody here who's perfect? Everybody here, I guess, is flawed, huh? In some way. We have faults and failings of our making. Yeah, each one of us. Maybe your wife doesn't like something about you, or your husband. We have defects and limitations that are beyond our control. Things that have happened to us. I've had 4 leg replacement surgeries. It's not your fault, it's not mine. It just happens. It doesn't interfere much, except when I want to walk and climb steps. Every Christian has his or her own thorn in the flesh. Such personal trials can embitter us and blind us to the goodness of God. When we see troubles in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones, it makes it difficult for us. My sister, I mentioned her. Her son died at age 16, and her husband a year later of a brain tumor, hereditary. Really made her bitter. She did not like God. She did not believe in God who could do something like that. What did I do to deserve this? She said. So it was a real problem. It's a real problem for me too. It's her brother. What am I going to say? How am I going to tell her? What am I going to say to her? This is going to make any sense. I can't give, oh, here, this is a nice, easy reason. Can't do it. I don't know. There is no easy and glib thing that I can say to you or anybody about human suffering. Or sometimes they can deepen our faith. Another friend of mine, a nurse, her husband died swimming. He was a good athlete, one of those athletic things. Three-way, whatever you call it, when he was in the swimming lap. And the lifeguards took a little break because this guy was a real good athlete. They came back 15 minutes later. There he is dead in the bottom of the pool. Something with a heart condition that nobody knew about. Well, I was there when Marianne told her 3 kids, and I was holding the youngest. What do you tell kids? What do you tell a 3-year-old that their dad is dead? I don't know. You hug them. That's what I did. There is no easy answer. Once again, no easy answer. If there were, somebody would have found it about 2,000 years ago. Even Jesus didn't give us an easy, glib answer about human suffering. Instead, he lived with it. He did, himself. He died with it. Many testify that they found the meaning of life more in their struggle with suffering than in the successes of their lives. They came to know God more deeply in a hospital bed than they did nice, comfortable at home in their easy chair watching television. There's no rational, satisfying answer to human tragedy. Such suffering is beyond any natural or theological explanation. The mystery of human suffering remains precisely that. It's a mystery concealed behind a curtain of flesh. But Christian faith sees in unavoidable human suffering not empty misery, but a share in the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ, which we know redeemed the world. So our suffering, united with that of Christ, redeems the world. How? I don't know. But it does. This can be misunderstood. It does not mean that we prove our worth by suffering, that God does not want us to suffer. Hey, good, I'm going to give this guy a busted leg so I can watch him squirm. No, that's not God. If God is Father, what father would want to see his kid suffer like that? Nobody. You'd be nuts. Christian faith sees not empty misery, but a share in the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ. Human suffering is not bad-tasting medicine for the cure of the soul. Christianity does not glorify suffering. On the contrary, we pray that God deliver us from illness and our burdens in life. But Christian faith must also see in the inevitable and inescapable hardships in life a special presence of God. You got to work hard at something. Whatever it is you want to achieve, you got to work hard to achieve. You want a college degree, you got to work hard for it. You want to get a job going, you got to work hard at it. You want whatever it is. You work hard at it. And there's involved a great deal of suffering. Whether it is a tumor, a headache, cardiac arrest, angina, or arthritis, God reveals himself to us and is present in our trials. God is with us in suffering. Not causing it, but being with us. When you parents, when your kid is hurting, you want to hug them, you want to be with them, you want them to be with you in the good times. When they're rejoicing and having fun, you want to be with them, you want them with you. So same thing with the Lord. We want the Lord with us in the good times and in bad, in sickness and in health. Suffering is a mystery of the comforting presence of God in our personal crosses. Suffering is not a means to glory. The glory is revealed in suffering. If Michelangelo could create the majestic and magnificent David from a flawed stone, God can bring goodness and holiness out of our flawed human condition. My grace is sufficient, for power is made perfect in weakness. When I am weak, then I am strong. I'd like to see a movie for once where the hero is a wimp.